This is Testimonial Tuesday with Dr. Drew Hall. This is episode number 15 for June 1st, 2010. And in this episode, Dr. Hall talks about a patient who had multiple sclerosis. Testimonial Tuesday is next.
UpperCervicalDocs.com.
For more testimonials like these, please go to UpperCervicalDocs.com, where you can also hear interviews with prominent people in upper cervical, including Dr. Hall. Again, the website is UpperCervicalDocs.com. It's time for Testimonial Tuesday with Dr. Drew Hall, where we hear wonderful stories about how people have been helped through the power of upper cervical. And I'm here with Dr. Hall. Hello, Dr. Hall.
Hello, Dr. Hamber.
That was one heck of a show last week.
We'll see if we can go on three tangents here again tonight. Hopefully we won't lose anyone. They'll remember this is about upper cervical.
Right. Well, what have you got for us today?
Well, we're going to travel down the road of MS, multiple sclerosis, which you and I both know was discussed about at the Upper Cervical Evolution event there in Italy.
Mm-hmm. The Upper Cervical Evolution wasn't held in Italy.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, there we go. Now I got a good blooper. No, the Upper Cervical Evolution was held in North Carolina. There were two Italian medical doctors / researchers that were there presenting for an hour about some exciting research. A 18-month trial, wasn't that correct?
18 yeah.
months? That's going on, which is just in its infancy. But any of us who have been doing upper cervical for any length of time have had MS patients come in that, with varying results, some of them do really, really, really well, and some of them can be quite difficult. But I'll tell the story first, and then you can talk a little bit about the research and the presentation that was given out there in North Carolina. But I had this 32-year-old come in. He was in a pretty severe accident about 4 years prior to the onset of his MS symptoms. And when he presented to my office, he had a cane and had really, really severe leg problems, not only pain, but as you know, they have a lot of tingling and paresthesia-type problems in the extremities. Along with that, he had severe cognitive issues. In fact, he was on disability at the time and could sleep at night and fine motor skills with the hands, was having trouble with that. And like usual, on all these Testimonial Tuesdays, I talk about their leg length discrepancy, and this particular individual was almost an inch, which is significant. And he had a very large ASR, which means the atlas is shifted up and forward to the right, and was corrected. And over a two-month period, about 70% of his MS symptoms went away, to the point where he was able to get rid of his cane, and he wasn't perfectly normal, but major life change for him. And about 4 months into care, he moved up to Northern California. We referred him to another upper cervical doctor in Redding. I've since lost touch, but that's one of my favorite MS stories that I have in my office. So
now,
Dr. Hamber, what was that?
Well, I was just going to ask on multiple sclerosis, one of the diagnoses is imaging, correct? They actually
had blacking on the brain or increased ventricle size. With his particular case, he didn't have increased ventricles. It was more blacking on the MRI. Also had cases in where they tell them they have MS, but none of the indicators are there.
Yeah.
you know, because symptoms they're having are mimicking that.
Right.
I've seen a lot of those cases clear right out, which means they don't have true MS.
Well, they don't have plaquing.
Right.
Yeah. Do you remember if this guy had any post-imaging done?
He wasn't around long enough for that to happen.
Okay.
He was around 3.5 months, but he didn't with me. I've heard of other, in fact, recently, I can't remember who it was that sent me an email. They had a post-MRI and all the plaquing had cleared rather quickly. Brain-wise.
Wow.
Hey, imagine that. You can adjust the atlas and affect above the atlas, not just below it.
Yeah.
That's going to be the exciting thing. I was talking with someone at Evolution was if we could do some research on neuroplasticity to show that there's neuronal changes that take place in the brain following upper cervical correction, because if we can prove that, we then can prove what we all know, and that's that we can affect any disease or symptom that exists.
Mm. Well, every single nerve in the body, including the cranial nerves, they're all affected by that level, because the cranial nerves have their nucleus at the level of the atlas. So it's the entire nervous system that's affected when the atlas is out of place and when it gets corrected. Now, in the Italian study that we were referring to, there's some medical doctors out in Italy that, by the way, speaking of them, they're using the seated CT imaging. How much of that have you looked into, Dr. Hall?
I haven't seen any pictures out of it.
You haven't? I would have thought, you know, 4 or 5 years ago now, I tried to get people to look at seated CT imaging. And, you know, I wasn't getting anywhere with upper cervical doctors. And now it takes a bunch of Italians who aren't even chiropractors to get us interested in seated CT imaging. But I would have thought Blair would have been all over that.
We've done MRI. No, okay. No, Dennis Campbell in middle part of California, he's done some CTs also. But initially, this is years ago, we took three-dimensional MRI, sliced along the long axis of the atlanto occipital joint to see if what we saw in MRI was confirming what we saw in X-ray, which it did, which was obviously comforting. Because as you know, a two-dimensional X-ray is projecting a three-dimensional object, and there's some could be some discrepancies in there, but we're happy to say that the listing we came up with on plain film was the same as what we showed on MRI. But yeah, I bet hopefully someday CT will come down to 40,000 like a top-notch X-ray unit. That would be great.
Well, at the time I started looking at it, there was no difference in price from digital X-ray and digital CT imaging.
Oh, really? Well,
because digital X-ray was brand new.
The radiation load is much higher in CT, isn't it?
No, not with these seated CT, no. In fact, they don't even have to be in a lead-lined room.
Oh, really?
All you have to do is, now this was 5 years ago, all you have to do is be 6 feet away from it when you push the button. Because the dosage is much lower. Because you're just getting this area up here, so they don't need the full amount of radiation.
Right.
But anyway, the Italian study was specifically on the effects that an upper cervical adjustment had on MS. And the study that we heard, it went through varying degrees of MS, which there's no way I'm going to remember one of them, much less any of them. But the conclusion, I can give you the conclusion to the study, which has not really been concluded, but they kind of see the direction that the conclusion is going. they know that one of the main causes of MS is, or I think it was one of the degree, one of these degrees of MS,
right,
is a lack of blood flow to the brain. And the vertebral arteries pass right through the atlas. And so their theory is when the atlas is out of adjustment, it restricts the blood flow, which then results in multiple sclerosis. So
that kind of,
go ahead.
I was going to say that kind of flies in the face of the Schwann cell theory that there's demyelination.
That's what I thought.
On that particular, they I think they broke it up into four different categories, didn't they?
I think so.
But, I mean, you can take that decreased blood flow on many different levels, from the atlas being structurally out of balance and somehow occluding that artery. You can also take it from Dan Murphy's work that the atlas is locked. It causes the sympathetics to become overactive, which causes vasoconstriction. And then I can look at it from a postural thing. The atlas is locked. You lose a cervical curve. The head's and an anterior load, and you have tight scalenes, and the scalenes are affecting the brachial artery. I mean, you know, there's so many. That's the thing with what we do. The atlas is locked. It affects globally so many, and there's these feedback loops, and you can just go on and on and on and on. You know, I know research is about nailing one thing down mm-hmm. and then studying it. But, I mean, that's the hard thing with what we do. It's so global in nature and the way that it affects what's going on there. But, hey, I'm all for focalized research on a condition that shows what we can do.
Well, their conclusion, and this is MDs from Italy saying this, not two chiropractors on Skype and Ustream. Their conclusion is that upper cervical correction is a cure for multiple sclerosis. That's pretty profound.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be really interested to see what comes out here in the next 16, 18 months.
Yeah. Well, very good story, Dr. Hall. We will see you next time.
All right. Have a good evening.
This has been Testimonial Tuesday with Dr. Drew Hall. I'm Dr. Paul Hambrick. Please join us next week for another episode of Testimonial Tuesday, where we hear more about how upper cervical is changing lives. If you're a doctor and you would like to do your own Testimonial Tuesday program for your clinic, for your website, please go to UpperCervicalDocs.com, click on the Services tab, and then click on the Audio Interview Podcasting Service tab.